A Quaker once posted a sign on one of his choicest fields on his farm, and it states, "This land will be given to the first satisfied person who passes this way." He no sooner arrived back at his house than a man knocked at his door. "Sir," he said, "I just saw your sign, and I want you to know that I am completely a satisfied man. I have a devoted family, a successful business, financial security for the future, and I am in excellent health." The old Quaker looked at his visitor over very, very carefully, and then said, "Pray tell, friend, if thou art completely satisfied man, why dost thou want my land?" The gospel text this morning is the parable of the tenants. This parable is often difficult to understand. However, I think there are two distinct points Jesus is trying to make. The first point, the kingdom of God belongs to those who believe in Jesus. The second point, be satisfied with what God has given you and use it to the best of your abilities. Let's take a closer look. The landowner built a vineyard and then hired servants, renters, to run it. After he had produced a crop, he sent his servants to harvest the rewards of the vineyard. But the renters had different ideas. They wanted the crop for themselves, so they killed the servants. The landowner sent more servants, and the same thing happened. So he decided to send his son. But the renters even killed the son. Then Jesus asks a question to the religious leaders who were listening. So what should the landowner do? The religious leaders said the landowners should kill the renters and find new ones. Then Jesus laid a bombshell on the religious leaders. "Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits." Jesus was telling the religious leaders that God had given them the nation of Israel, but they had not taken care of it very well. He sent his servants, the prophets, but they had been killed or not listened to. Then God sent his son, Jesus, and Jesus was telling them that he too would be killed. So then the kingdom of God would be given to others. And those others would be the Gentiles and those who believe that Jesus was the Son of God. The kingdom of God is given to those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the one who came from God to deliver us from death and give us salvation. We sang it just a few moments ago from John 20, 30, 31. "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." In one sense, this parable speaks also about repentance, turning to Jesus for forgiveness of our sins and salvation. But what does repentance mean? It's more than just leaving something behind. It's more than just stop sinning. It's a turning. It is a turn from sin and a turn to Jesus. And repentance is a daily activity. Repentance is thinking about entering the waters of our baptism each morning. Drown the old self, allowing the new self with the grace of God to emerge from the water. Maybe a good way to think about this is to look at Luther's prayer of repentance, which we could all pray each day, every day. And I quote, "Behold, Lord, an empty vessel that needs to be filled. my Lord, fill it. I am weak in faith. Strengthen thou me. I am cold in love. Warm and make me fervent that my love may go out to my neighbors. I do not have a strong and firm faith. At times I doubt and I am unable to trust thee altogether. O Lord, help me. In thee I have sealed the treasure of all I have. I am poor. Thou art rich and didst come to be merciful to me, to the poor. I am a sinner. Thou art upright. With me there is an abundance of sin. In thee is the fullness of righteousness. Therefore I will remain with thee, whom I can receive, but to whom I may not give. Amen. Luke's prayer shows us both points to this parable. He's asking for personal forgiveness, and he's asking to be filled with love so that he might go out and serve his neighbors with love. The second point of this parable is that we are stewards of what God has given us, and we need to use our gifts and talents to the best of our abilities. With the whole harvest coming, our thoughts could turn to the stewardship of our natural resources, and that would be fine. However, I would like to take a look at our unique self, and what God has given us, and how we use that. Each of us, created in the image of God, with unique sets of skills and purpose. By way of example, I think about my own life and the gifts I've received and how over the years the Lord has patiently guided each day of my life to use all these gifts for his ministry in the vocation that he has called me. In a sense, all that I had done in life, all the training I had completed came to use for me as a pastor. Let me try and explain. In ninth grade, scared to death of speaking in front of people, I thought to help me conquer that fear, I started taking drama classes in ninth grade and continued into college. I enjoyed performing roles on stage, but realized I wasn't very good at playing make-believe. During my banking career, I helped to develop and teach MBA students how to be bankers. The program was expanded, so I taught others how to be trainers, to deliver that course and the executive level training that went with it. Later, I was asked again to put those skills to use, developing and training the employees who worked in the Olympic Village when Los Angeles hosted the Olympics. Who knew I would put those drama skills to use in the real world? But the Lord continued to call me to new and different experiences. I went to Concordia in New York to study and become a licensed lay deacon. I thought I could do that in my spare time in retirement. I enjoyed learning and expanding my faith and organizing concepts of faith and belief into something I could share with others. This became more evident in my years working in the high-tech companies and the Gideon's International. I had opportunities to share my faith with people I encountered at work and on my travels around the world. Then I was called to extend my studies to become a pastor. I soon realized that all my training and experience would be used, and I was glad for them. Who knew COVID-19 would come and Redeemer would have to close their doors to worship? Pastor John asked for ideas. God had already prepared me with the knowledge and the skills so we could continue to share the love of Jesus using technology. And while I still get very nervous before a worship service, I enjoy using the words to describe my faith and how I experience the gospel each and every day. Maybe those years of leading devotions around the campfire at Camp Fox, where I worked for 7 summers, paid off. God has given me gifts to use for his glory. God has given you gifts to use for his glory. Each of you uniquely created by God with a unique set of skills for a purpose. Our text today asks each of us a question. Are you using your gifts that God has given you? Are you producing fruits? Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.